G'day there folks, Paul here signing in for another video. Hello, welcome. Thank you again for taking the time to come back and join with me. Now this is part two of this section in James 1 that we are reading. Here's some numbers, verses 21 through 27. We got through to verse 25 and had to wrap it up, just trying to keep these short if I can along the way. But picking up, quick summary. James is writing here about actual application of what we do with our faith and how we should not deceive ourselves. And he writes in verse 21 that we should lay aside, put aside, you know, all filthiness, moral filth and evil and wickedness in our lives, and receive with a humble heart the implanted word, the logos of the scripture, which is the living word, the sharper than two-edged sword word, which can reach directly between soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts, of the intents of the heart. This is the word. We read that from Hebrews chapter 4. This is what James, and I love this, the end of verse 21, which is able to save your souls. And he helps us to understand here how we can find out for ourselves whether we're on that right track or not. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, lest you deceive yourself. And we know that as people, it is too easy for us to deceive ourselves. We can so easily believe our own BS. We just do. And we lie to ourselves enough and it becomes truth, even though it's not. And he says that we are so often like someone who just looks themselves in the mirror, that we don't see the truth of ourselves in the mirror. All too often we see an image that we have created for ourselves. And it is the same thing in our Christianity, that we create for ourselves an image of what is right and what is wrong. And we do not compare that image here to the scripture, Holy Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit. We do not receive it. We too often come to it with an agenda to make it into, to mold it into what we want it to say. And I made comment as we're wrapping up that last video, how often, too often, we see that bite-sized breakfast on a Sunday morning where there's a point that needs to be made and the preacher simply brings it, taking the pieces of scripture that fit together to justify the point. And in doing that, we, unless we are careful, we become deceived, not only by what we hear, but by also what we believe. And I want to continue on with that thought, looking at verse 24. But he who looks, and just quickly, I want you to look at the connecting words here. Verse 25, sorry. Look at the connecting words. James 1, verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the law of liberty, and continues. All right, listen. And continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. This one will be blessed in all that he does. And this is my heart for you, that you would find the blessing and rejoicing and hope and majesty which is found in Christ Jesus in your life by putting aside the flesh, by dying to yourself daily. We spoke about that in the previous video. But folks, I've got to say, don't be one. Be careful here. Don't be one who comes to the Sunday morning sermon with a preset agenda and then walks away, you know, belittling it. It's bad enough that we pick up scripture and we come to it with an agenda. But if we go to our Sunday mornings and go, oh, well, I don't like that speaker. I'm going to wait till the other one comes home, and we just yap, and we belittle it. That's wrong, folks. It's wrong. And this wrongness, it's not really a good word, but this wrongness, yes, it can come from both sides. I've heard pastors on the platform make a statement and say, and if you don't agree with me, there's the back door, out you go. Wrong. Also wrong. But we have no part in deciding their fate. We have part only in our own work and working out our own salvation. And so if you have a question, if you have disagreement, if you have discussion about what you might hear on a Sunday morning or on a video here or whatever or wherever, my best suggestion is this: get back to the Word. Go and research it out, dig it out, find out the truth of the matter. Bring in those whom you trust and discuss if you must. Bring it in. Don't just rely on your interpretation. Please understand that it is too easy for us, particularly as students of the Word, it is too easy for us to make mistake and put our judgment and our thoughts into what we read. We must take in others' thoughts. Before I present these videos, I go through each different section of Scripture with three teachers before praying and making my notes and presenting it forward to you. These are not just my thoughts. And I learn so much, and Lord opens up so much for me in such manner of style of study. And I look to share it with you. But the point that we see here, observes himself, goes away, forgets what kind of man that he is. We can't just hear this. We're talking about now the Word, the implanted Word. We can't just hear it. We can't just dismiss it. We can't just move on. We cannot also starve ourselves. One meal a week, it's not enough. I saw some research a little while back. I follow, I think it's Lifeway Research, having a mental blank there, but I follow, and there's some research which was done where they showed that in order to grow as a Christian, as a son or daughter of the living God, in order to grow in your faith and deepen your relationship with Christ, you must get into the Word at least four times a week or more to see change in your life. And the most beautiful change, folks, it comes through God working in you, working in to then be seen out. Excuse me. It comes from his work in your life, not just the, here's a thing for you. One meal a week isn't enough. And then you get people who go, oh, yes, but I go to Bible study. I go to church camps. I go to conferences. I serve on the team. I go to small groups. I this, I that. You know what I do? I hear the way you talk about others. I hear the way you speak about your wife, your children. I hear about the way you speak about your brothers and sisters in Christ. I hear the way you speak about your problems. And Christ is so rarely in the center of those conversations. The perfect law of liberty. Here we see Jesus, who can set us free. The living implanted Word. And I have a note here. Why do I have a note here, which I haven't written in my notes? Acts chapter 15, verse 20. I just want to quickly look this one up. Bear with me one moment. Oh. I don't know why I'm being led to read this right now, but I'm going to. We're talking about the context just quickly. Jerusalem Council. Peter is having discussion with the Jerusalem Council over what rules should we give to those Gentiles who have now come to Christ. And we know this because verse 8 of Acts chapter 15, God who knows the heart acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. He's referring to, I think I referred to it in the previous video actually, Acts chapter 10. Yes, I did, 10 verse 44. But here is this discussion, and we even see James is a part of this discussion, verse 13. And James here explains so beautifully that the obligations which we had, James speaking, which we had as Jews, we couldn't even uphold them. It was too much of a burden for us to bear. Why would we put that upon these Gentile believers, he says. And in verse 20, he says, but we should write to them. Listen carefully, this is important. To abstain from things polluted by idols, that was a very common practice back then, sacrificing meat to idols and so on, you know, giving the gifts to the idols before you'd give them to someone else. To abstain from sexual immorality, from things strangled and from blood. And this is all to do with the way sacrifices were made and these types of things. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. If they wanted to know these things, they could, but James draws the line and makes it so that the burden which is placed upon the Gentiles was not so hard to bear. And I look at that, and I think of that, and I think of two things. The first is we all too often, my kids have some friends who are not Christian, and that's okay. How else should we witness to them? Let them see Christ in us. But we cannot put our expectations for our children and our children's behavior on their friends who are not Christians, such as we as adults should not either. Yes? So when we look at that, I also look at that and I think of maybe a youth group, for example, and the burden that we place against youth and their manners of behavior. Why do we place such heavy burden on them? Can't even give them a hug to say goodbye to friends, to girls. It is an unnecessary burden. And I get the reasons behind it, as James got the reasons behind and defended those as part of the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15. But for those who look into the perfect law of liberty, freedom, that is what we are told about just here. And then continues in it. Freedom, folks. Freedom. Yes, as believers, there are constraints in the manner in which we live, but I will not burden them directly. A brand new believer comes out of the baptism tank, and I've heard this before, and swears an expletive with his joy. You can imagine. Beautiful, though, the heart that Jesus sees. I will follow James's example, as I had someone say to me a little while back. He came back to Christ, was speaking to me following up from one of our men's breakfasts, and said, I have a question. I think I know the answer, but I have to ask. He hadn't been baptized at this point. He was just coming back. And he says, I'm living with someone. She is not my wife. In fact, she's actually married to somebody else. Is that okay? And my answer, very simply, not so much. No, it's not okay. And I'm using James's example here, that sexual immorality, one of those things we abstain from straight away. And his repentance, changing of his will and his ways to God's will and his ways, showed his faith in saying, I'll take care of it. It'll be done by the end of the week. Because his genuine heart in coming back to Christ. And then, look at this. This one will be blessed in what he does. This man, struggling at the time with cancer, riddled throughout his body, praise God, now fully healed, fully redeemed, fully restored. Obedience to Christ. Now, the obedience is not the reason why God blessed him. Do not think that obedience and works bring the blessing. But obedience and works, as James will explain in more detail later, shows our faith, the fruit of our faith. And his faith was strong, putting God first. Verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. I think that just explains itself pretty clean, straight out there. And the tongue, yeah. We talk more about that one later, taming the untamable tongue. It's a ripper, isn't it? Oh boy. But it's not just the language, not just the swearing. It's the slander. It's the malice. It's the backbiting. All of these things. Verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep one unspotted from the world. Two things there. First thing, this is to be us. This is to be us in this world, bringing a message of hope, Christ's message. Firstly, to those who are in the church who have not heard it, who do not yet understand it. Secondly, to those who are outside the church, to bring them in under the fold, under the wing of our beautiful Father, loving Father. So here's my question. I'm sure you've heard it before. Sending love, sending prayers. Yes, sending you love, sending you prayers. Good. Not enough, though. No, seriously, not enough. James talks about this in more detail later. Do you have means? Do you have means? Do you have money? Do you have financial? Do you have resources? Do you have opportunity? Do you have anyone struggling financially in your church? Do you? Do you have more money left over at the end of the month? Instead, like most of us who have more month left at the end of the money? Serve God where you are, folks. Don't wait. Serve God where you are. And I shared briefly this story of the chessboards and sitting around the table and this fellow who was homeless. And we came together, yes, praying for this man. Yes, absolutely praying for him. But we had to ask. I had to ask the questions. Let me ask you this. Do you have food for tonight? You do. Great. Praise God. How about next week? How about this coming month? How are you providing for yourself? What's happening? You're homeless. I get this. The meals are not usually there. I made sure that these things were taken care of. Once I answered that question, once he answered that question, the next question was, because he slept. Guys, I've just got to say this as it is. I'm not going to try and sugarcoat this. This gentleman slept in his car in the church car park because he had nowhere else to go. And when I found that out, my very first question for the next night, understanding that I don't have a room here in my house, and I have my children, not that I would think for one second that there'd be any threat to them, not even for a moment, but they may find it uncomfortable having someone they don't know in the house. So I made inquiries. But just in case our inquiries didn't come to pass and the Lord wanted us or needed us to wait a little while longer for the perfecting of his faith, I asked him the question, do you have a pillow? Do you have blankets? Are you warm? Yes. Good. But this is the beautiful then, the testimony. This is the testimony of faith. By the end of that day, and we had arranged for him somewhere to sleep if needs be. But by the end of that day, someone, not even part of the church, God used them. They heard of his story and contact was made. And they said, hey, we've got a camper van in the backyard that's not being used. I'll drive it to the local caravan park for you. Here in my town, we have free caravan parking provided by local council. What a wonderful idea. I'll drive it there for you, and you are welcome to use it for as long as is needed. And so we all came together, and we prayed, and we gave thanks. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. Those who have no means, those who are struggling, those who cannot provide for themselves, and if you can, and if you've got money left over at the end of the month, it is your duty, it is your obligation to find someone in your fellowship, in your church who is struggling, and I promise you there are many, and help them. And if you don't want to do it directly, come and see, go see one of the elders. Can you please give this to them, this gift to them? And if you have concern, they're struggling with alcohol, don't give them cash. Get them a gift voucher for the local supermarket so they have food. If they have children, it's coming up to Christmas. See, they are taken care of. There is so much that we can do. And I am passionate about this because I've been on that receiving end. And it is for that and the glory of the Father that I now, praise God, am able to be on the other side, the giving, the helping, the caring, the praying. It's not just love and prayers, folks. It's not just love and prayers. Visit orphans and widows in their trouble. And here's part two, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. And we finish up here. Folks, keep yourself clean spiritually. I think it's Galatians 5, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. We want the fruit of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh in our lives. Keep your head and your heart clear of the sin that so easily entangles us and clutters us up. John 17 reminds us that while we may be in this world, folks, we are not of it. Can you remember that for me? Memorize that. We are not in this world. Sorry, we are in this world, but we are not of it. Keep yourself clean. All right, folks, we're going to pick up from the beginning of chapter 2 next video. Thank you so much for taking the time to join with me. I pray, Father, this has been a blessing to those and to those who struggle with some of the things I have said here, because there is change coming and perhaps change is needed. Father, I pray, give them the faith, give them the strength, let them come to you asking for wisdom to make the changes in their lives that must be made to honor you, to walk worthy of the calling that we are called to. And Lord, I pray that they will be blessed in what they do, because they are doers of your word. Yes, and sharing that testimony for your glory, Father, for others to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye-bye.